Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Give it to me!
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you that is proud of our rich history. We recognize the whole of our podcast is greater than the sum of its parts. More importantly, we believe in our people, our culture, and our ability to deliver value to all our stakeholders. We embrace diversity and foster inclusivity because we are one thing. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, Molly, so well put. We have a wonderful collection of things to announce to you today. We think you're going to love them.
I feel like we could send somebody an It's a Thing sticker if they could figure out which companies all these things are from. Let's start a little contest.
Yeah, it's like an Easter egg hunt.
Disclaimer, we have not yet produced It's a Thing stickers, but we could, I guess, in honor of the contest.
It could happen anytime.
All right, what do you got?
My first thing is not related to NFTs, but is an artist showing off virtual and augmented reality art both in the real world and in Fortnite. This is not a new artist. His name is, he goes by Cause. I think his name is Brian Donnelly, actually. He's not like super secretive about that, but his artist name is Cause, K-A-W-S. And there is an exhibition in London that you can go to that has an augmented reality aspect to it, called Cause New Fiction. It's at the Serpentine in London. But you can also visit it in Fortnite if you want. That has caused a split, which to me signals thing, which is art critics hating it, public loving it.
Yep, love it. Cause is crushing it. I have not heard of Cause or any of this art, and now I'm going to become obsessed because once you get to that point where people are complaining about it in the art world, that means you've totally broken through as pop culture. And as actually Wikipedia points out, he's been compared to the likes of Andy Warhol, which sounds right about accurate. Like, oh, you made a soup can, you loser. And then everyone is like, take my money.
Right. you've probably seen Cause stuff. Cause probably needs to be a thing himself. He's been around for a few decades, I think since the late 90s. He redesigned the MTV Moon Man trophy a few years back, like 2013. He is on the shelves behind many famous people like John Mayer, Travis Scott, BTS. They all have connections to Cause where they collect the stuff. And if you've seen the sort of the guy with no face and like, I don't know how you, it's almost like little caterpillars as ears.
Like a little bit of,
that's the Cause three, companion. It's kind of
like four Princess Leia buns stacked on each other.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. You've probably seen Cause. You just didn't realize it.
Yep. Totally. Interesting. Yeah. There's a piece about him in the New York Times. And then it sounds like, he himself is a thing. And then now his sort of digital forays.
Yeah.
Have made him an even bigger thing. So well played, sir.
I love it. Also a thing is that this didn't involve NFTs in any way.
I love that, by the way. I love that. And it's Fortnite getting back to, like, remember for a second when Fortnite had the promise of being the metaverse, basically? Yeah,
right.
Everybody was like, that's where, and I was like, this is where we're gonna spend all our time. So great. And then it's sort of like
Fortnite is probably going to be the metaverse.
Right.
It's just steadily being it instead of promoting itself as it. Right.
It's definitely got a better chance of it, than the other one, I would say.
I've been of the opinion that the metaverse will come about through merging of game worlds. That's one of the most likely ways this happens, rather than somebody creating a metaverse that they invite everyone to.
Yeah. No. You absolutely. Know? And I mean, if you look at game, I'm so obsessed with this, and we're going to briefly have our other podcast because I totally agree. And if you look at where in-game economics and also sale and creation and complex economic markets of digital goods is happening, It's Game Worlds.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, like, my son is obsessed with CSGO, and I cannot believe the amounts of money that are exchanging hands for digital goods related to CSGO, but also how insular and unique and complicated the economics of it are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a full-on functioning market with all kinds of, like, trading.
There's a lot of reasons Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard. There's a lot of reasons Sony bought Bungie. Mm-hmm. But honestly, what we're talking about right here is probably the biggest one. Like,
yeah,
there are other things they can get out of it in the meantime, but down the road, the long-term bet is we want to have the world. We and both those world? Companies make worlds.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Completely agree. Also, in case you're wondering, by the way, some of Cause's pieces, for example, one called Kerf's Tangle, which looks like a Smurf, or Kerf Hot Dog, which is looks like a Smurf holding a hot dog, from 2008, sold for $2.6 million at a Sotheby's auction in 2019.
Yeah. So if you're not in London, there's a few other places with permanent collections of Cause work. The Modern Art Museum in Fort Worth, the Brooklyn Museum, the Museum of Contemporary Art San Diego, and I have not heard of this art museum, One Campus Martius in Detroit.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go to Fortnite.
Yeah, or you could just log on to Fortnite.
I mean, how great is that?
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely wonderful. All right, my next one I thought was sort of like an obligatory, like I have to mention it because it's so everywhere, but maybe not, at least judging from our pre-show poll, our pre-game poll, if you will. And that is understood the assignment. So if you have seen these words attached to anything lately on Twitter or Instagram, and it's got sort of a varying use, but it basically means like you succeeded at what was sometimes the unspoken thing or the actual spoken thing. And I will try to find a good example before I explain, but it took me a while to realize that it's because there was literally a song. Tay Money posted a video, and there's this sort of like, it's just a little song. It goes like, I understood the assignment. And then there's a song. But now it's just started to be used for all kinds of things. And it's everything from, like, I don't know, the very literal. Like, I think it started to get into meme territory when this woman posted it as part of her weight loss journey and was like, I understood the assignment trend about your weight loss. But then it can be even a little bit more subtle. Like, if someone effectively trolls someone else on Twitter, then someone might comment, you know, effective troll understood the assignment. It's sort of like, I think it's taken on this sort of subtle, like, you understood the deeper meaning thing, but not always. Sometimes it's just totally literal.
It's a little bit of, you know what time it is.
Yes. It's a lot like that. You know what time it is. Yes. It's probably the best spiritual successor.
Yeah. Yeah.
To, you know what time it is. It's totally being used just like that. And then there's this really catchy little riff. I understood the assignment that you will like get in your head like a weirdo.
There are so many I'm trying to think of the one that was going around about, I can't remember anything about it, but we were both walking around the house singing it because it was on TikTok, but it wasn't this one. I didn't run across this one. The algorithm failed me here.
I can't believe that. I'm like so shocked. I feel like all I ever see, although I do see it a lot more in like Twitter comments and Reddit comments. Sorry. Happened? I opened TikTok.com in a window like a dum-dum, and then it autoplayed so loud.
We didn't hear it on this end, so that's funny. All we heard was you reacting.
I just wanted to search for it. And now I can't. This is why this is the only place where Instagram wins, because at least I can subtly pull it up and type
Instagram
in
understood the assignment.
I'm pulling up the tag. Understood the assignment. I mean, people now literally have it in their Twitter. I came up with a user that's like, so-and-so understood the assignment.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here we go. Understood the assignment. 17,000 posts. I mean, it's literally.
So Tay Money posted this in August 2021. And then it did that TikTok thing of getting used by somebody and taken off. And just,
yep. And now it's just everywhere.
Yeah. Going viral. As they used to say.
understood and back perfected the assignment. So yeah, just go look it up. And then, by the way, now you're going to see it everywhere.
That's a good one. So I'm that's a really good one.
Almost sorry.
This is where you provide a public service to people who didn't see it, right? Everybody who's seen it is like, oh yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But the rest of us are like, oh, now we can not feel left behind.
Right. And you'll be like, what is that? Like, remember like the nobody one, the nobody started, you know, nobody colon, and then some blank space and then a thing. And yeah. Everyone was like, what is that? And where did it come from? And what's it supposed to mean? So great. Hopefully I've gotten to understood the assignment in time for you to appear, fact, like just play it off, like play it cool when you see
you
it.
Understood the assignment.
I understood the assignment of it's a thing. I understood the assignment of it's a thing.
My other thing is one of those, like, you've probably seen this, but if you haven't, here's what it means. Because short story, I complimented the Korean series Snowdrop that's on Disney Plus starring Jisoo from Blackpink, and Jisoo fans really liked that I said that on Twitter. And I got a lot of people responding to that tweet, many of them responding because all I wrote was like Snowdrop on Disney Plus is a very good show. And I got a lot of people responding OFC or OFCCCCCC. And that's of course, OFC is short for of course. So if you see that out there in the world, it's been around for a while. It kind of kicked off back in the early 2000s, you know, with instant messaging. Might have been around, kicking around in IRC even before that. But it is definitely a way to say like, duh, no kidding. That yes, not in a trolley way necessarily, but just right. Like in a like affirmative, like, oh yeah, absolutely. OFC. And apparently this is the part I didn't know already. Adding more C's will emphasize the of course-ness of it.
Of course, 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 course. Huh. Interesting. I had not seen all the C's, but my child has been saying, oh, OFC.
Uh-huh.
Constantly. Yeah. Right? Like, I'm like, can you make sure you did this? Right. And it's having a spike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea that it, because it's funny, because of course sounds sort of casual. So it's funny that you could add a bunch of C's and make it really enthusiastic. Like, it's never struck me as a particularly enthusiastic phrase. And no. So it's kind of cute that that's its evolution.
Of course is a weird English idiomatic phrase, too. It derives, I looked into it once, it derives from some people think, it's kind of lost in history, that it derives from saying, like, it is going of the usual course that things go, right? We would say on course to mean that, but it just sort of shortened and stuck around as the shortened of course, meaning yes, obviously.
That is hilarious. And of course.
And now it's OFC. It's way too long. Come on, people.
And it's OFC. And instead of being of the usual course, which is how I've always, like, I've never, obviously, I'm not Tom, so I didn't look into the etymology. but that is how I've always taken that, of the usual course, which again is somewhat bland, of not course. Like OFCCCC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's
love it.
It's the beauty of a living.
And it's not always like right? that, even.
To watch the mutation of that. It's great. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, amazing. Let's see. My second and last thing, again, almost seemed too obvious, and yet I think people don't know about these yet. So, hey, I don't know if you know, but Wordle got pretty big after we talked about it. Yeah.
After we talked about it. Yeah.
After. Right.
Before we talked about it, but certainly after we talked about it.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, we gave it the boost that it needed to be bought by the New York Times.
CCC.
OFC, CCC. Also, how freaking great is it? I mean, that guy, you know, the guy who created it did it to entertain his girlfriend during the pandemic.
Right.
I mean,
in November, he made a thing for his girlfriend. Now he sold it for $1 million.
Yep.
At least $1 million.
At least. Yes. Yeah. Hopefully more. And now, possibly in anticipation, well, because success breeds imitation, but also possibly in anticipation of Wordle going behind the paywall, there are all these Wordle spin-offs now. So if you're not into the word thing, you can go to nerdlegame.com and play a version with math.
Prime numbers, Wordle. But I mean Wordle because numbers, but wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that one to me, I saw somebody posted a screenshot and I was like, I thought
nerdy you know enough to appreciate it, but not mathy enough to do it.
No. Like, it's sort of like when people first started sharing the Wordle squares, it just looked like some weird code that you could never, ever figure out until you actually go there and you're like, oh, okay, it's like words and stuff. This, someone squared it, shared a screenshot of that, and I was like, yeah, this might as well be something you need the ENIAC machine to break. Like, I can't.
There are people who are like way into primes, though, who have memorized primes, right? So for them, it's just pattern recognition, like any other Wordle spinoff. I am not one of those people, personally.
It is hardcore. Yeah. Then, and this is adorable, and I sent this because my boyfriend's son is preparing for his bar mitzvah. There's Joodle.
So, like, what,
which is just Jewish words. It's Wordle, but with Jewish words.
So is it like, you know, schmutz and stuff like that? Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's exactly. Great. I love that.
So it's words from English, Yiddish, Hebrew, and Aramaic. And then, unlike, it is a 6-letter Jewish word, so it's trickier. And then once you get a word right, you get some explanation and context for the words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are more than welcome to send us all the your favorite Wordle spin-offs.
Send them all.
We are probably not going to read them all on the show, just to let you know ahead of time. But maybe we will. So send them to us.
Exactly. I mean,
not me.
I'm assuming there are at least that many. There's a Pokemon Wordle, apparently. Squirtle. Yeah, it's going to go on for a while. And then Aussie Lee in the Discord today during our live stream, which I don't know if you guys know, but patreon.com/itsathing. You can join the Discord for our live tapings. Posted what looks like a Wordle block puzzle that says not a Wordle, just trying to find a meeting time that works for everybody. So you have a Calendly Wordle crossover tweet. Workle.
So good.
Oh, that's amazing.
That reminds me. I forgot to play Wordle today.
Oh no, really? Because the sub thing of Wordle now is being on 9 different group chats that are all your various friends and family posting their scores. Are you not on that?
No.
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 I only have 2, but I know people with more than 2.
It's interesting. I don't think it's related, but maybe subconsciously it is. Around the time that he sold it, I started to like, oh, right, I should play Wordle instead of being like first thing every morning.
Oh yeah, I think some of us did start to mentally it's like a detach with love, because you know you're gonna have to pay for it soon.
I don't think so. Oh, honestly,
they're gonna roll it into that crossword app.
I think for values of soon, right? I think the New York Times knows just how much blowback they will get. I'm not sure what they plan to do with it, but I don't think they put it behind a paywall because they know better.
I mean, I give it a year.
Okay. Yeah. You're talking about a year, maybe. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying like in 2 weeks.
That's why maybe. I said for value of soon, you know, depending.
Right. 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 Exactly. Which, by the way, was a really smart sounding thing to say. I just want to congratulate you on that. So
I don't actually know what it meant. It just sounded good in my brain.
All right. As you are preparing to email us, this is a good time to remind you that our email address is feedback@itsathing.me. And now we get to the best part of the show, where you all pile on with amazing things.
Ian from Rochester on a doodle finding said, hey, Molly, Tom and Rich, long time, first time, though not as long time as my boyfriend, Henry, who brought y'all to my attention and who's been a fan since the Buzz Out Loud days.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Henry. Ian says, I'm a little late to the party on this, but I wanted to submit some additional doodle thing information. We take our pup Marnie to a popular dog park in our area, and it's hard to go a single visit without seeing at least one doodle. About a week after hearing your recent discussion on doodles, I was at said dog park and overheard the following paraphrased conversation. Would you like to play person B, Molly?
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. I will play person A.
Great.
What kind of dog is he?
Oh, he's the Bernedoodle.
We were looking at getting a Bernedoodle recently. They're expensive.
Yeah, they're like the top of the doodle chain.
All right, back to Ian. It's important to note that doodle chain is not my construction. This was a naturally occurring term that can now be added to the doodle lexicon. Anywho, thank you for the very important work you're doing. I listen to a lot of news and politics podcasts, and it's nice to have an option that doesn't make me want to join the JWST and L2 orbit.
For real, right? For real.
Well said.
Also, can I just point out that today's show includes Nerdle, Joodle, Wordle, Doodle, old Doodle chain and Doodle lexicon.
There's your title, Rich.
Yep. Done. All right. Manny, a THD, wrote in on a new flag he's waving. Greetings to all, he says. I just had a light bulb moment, as you do when listening to the show, and something that flew under the radar clicked as a thing. Green flags. Hmm. So red flags in people have been a thing. We all know what those are. Things that might indicate that a person is not nice in some way, usually used in a dating context. Well, now the opposite is becoming popular and people are referencing green flags. The original form of this is where people would list green flags that might be something like if they adopt kittens, volunteer, etc. Obviously, it will vary from person to person. The idea is that if a person is like this, they will be a good person, even if the relationship between the two is less obvious. Huh. Like, I've seen a green flag as someone playing a specific D&D class. It gets wildly off topic, but that's the fun of it. Then it kind of jumped the confines of lists and it's just become a term that is thrown around, which is where I think it thingified. I see and hear it all the time. Sorry, this got kind of long. Keep up the thing spotting and stay safe.
I love this so much.
I haven't seen it, but I love it.
I was out on a date, but there were a lot of green flags, so I think I'll go for another one. Like,
exactly.
That's so good.
Like, I'm not really sure. Yeah.
I've definitely heard ooh, there were a lot of red flags, not going back.
I know. Yeah. I like the positivity of this.
Yeah, me too. Like, there needs to, like, there's nothing wrong with saying, oh, red flags. It's nice to have an option for, like, but also green flags sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Like, you can be like, yeah, you know, I'm just getting out of a relationship, but still a lot of green flags.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Love it.
I'm trying to think. If someone has some red flags and some green flags,
yellow light,
become yellow flags.
Green means go, and yellow means slow, and red.
There were a couple red flags, a couple green flags. So I'm really at yellow flags.
I'm really at yellow flag. I mean, right? Like, this is beautiful. You can introduce complexity and nuance. Yeah. Oh,
thank you, Manny. As always,
incredible. So good.
Walter with more BMW thoughts. Hi, thing team. On the recent discussions on the show about Audi's ascension and BMW's fading, for me, the chinks in the armor of BMW's brand began appearing in 2010 when Top Gear released their hilarious test, quote unquote, of the BMW X6 in 2010, which took the internet by storm as BMW was skewered for, quote, setting out to create a $60,000 plus Pontiac Aztec, except even less functional. Very Top Gear sounding. This particular Top Gear test is famous for being one of their most expensive ever, conducted per the fan wiki, as show host Jeremy Clarkson took the car to many locations throughout the world, including Switzerland, Hong Kong, and even to Australia, just to see if the glove box could still work upside down. It was a review with tests that cost so very much to produce with so little added value, just like BMW's expensive designs and the value the X6 provided. In sum, Top Gear really boomed BMW in 2010, and it's been downhill for BMW ever since. Keep rocking.
Oh, that's hilarious. By the way, Walter, you understood the assignment.
Yes, he did.
There we go. Oh, well done.
Yes.
Boomed it. He boomed me. I mean, I think you could argue that what really happened is BMW made the X6, did not take the note from Top Gear and kept on doing the same crap. And then now here we are in Audi land. But yes, yes. John in South Carolina writes in on industry plants. Tom and Molly, producer's note, sad face.
Oh, you left out Rich, John.
Oh,
you
still
made it on the show somehow. It's so okay. It must have been a really good email.
You know what? You get I know, exactly. Like, you get another chance, though. It's not too late. It's not too late. I think the biggest examples of industry plants from the last year were an all-girl punk band that made a bunch of edgy tweets and was quickly revealed to be a bunch of failed pop artists assembled by a record company, and an overproduced TikTok video that opened with "My life effing sucks," and went on and on about how awful it's been for her just to promote her new album. The fact that I can't remember who any of these musicians are should tell you how successful they were.
I will say, sometimes failed artists from other adventures put together can be very successful if they're good.
If they're good.
And if they're not, the internet sniffs it out really fast. And that sounds like maybe what happened here. Francis needs a thing check. You ready?
Yes, let's go.
Francis says, I do not remember if I heard this from the show or found it on my own. I've been fascinated by hoof trimming videos. GP on YouTube. It sucks me in like a good pimple pop or bot fly video.
Whoa.
I thought I was alone in my addiction until I bought a hat with a hoof trimmer's logo and wore it around. I was amazed at how many people recognized the logo and commented on the hat. So what? If I did learn about this from the show, thank you. If I found it on my own, you're welcome.
Oh, bravo. And also, you found it on your own.
Yeah.
And also,
so thank you, Francis.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I gotta wait. I gotta look everywhere and see if this is a thing. Cause that's wow.
Hoof trimming.
Wow. Also, I mean, people recognize the logo.
I say hoof and hoof. I did. Yeah. I kept varying.
I know. You're like, wait. See, I'm that way with crick and creek. Yeah. And there's another one like you that where it just is forth. Like it's just dependent on situation.
What I noticed was
economics and economics.
When he put hoof in front of a word, I wanted to say hoof, but when he used hoof alone, I wanted to say hoof.
Yeah.
I have no idea why.
I say economic when it's an adjective and economics when it's a noun.
And I say nanometer just to annoy that one guy from Buzz Out Loud years ago.
Yeah.
I got really mad when I said it once.
Never gets old. Literally never gets old. In so many ways, you, dear listener, are the best part of the show. For example, your freaking awesome emails. And also the fact that you support us with your very own money. So this is the part of the show where we shout out by name and in the most custom artisanal fashion that producer Rich can come up with, the people who support us at the shout out level at patreon.com/itsathing. Today's shout outs are based on the history of the development of the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis.
Now, obviously, we all know what the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis is, but explain it to us.
Just in case, I did a smooth duck-duck-go while Tom was reading that last email.
That was definitely a Hail Mary just now.
The Sapir-Whorf hypothesis, also known as the linguistic relativity hypothesis, refers to the proposal that the particular language one speaks influences the way one thinks about reality.
Oh, that's very true.
So that is super cool, and I want to read all the books about the Sapir-Whorf.
That's one of the fun things about learning a new language is you start to change how you think about reality because you see the different constructions. Oh, so cool. Love the Sapir. I had no idea that's what it was called.
Me neither.
All right.
It's amazing.
Well, from his studies of the research of David Grizzly Smith and his own research on languages, Paul Dow concluded that there is clearly a connection between language and Mike Akins. However, he did not clearly state whether he believed that language determined Eric Duncan. Rather, he argued that no two Benjamin Forrests are ever sufficiently similar such that they could represent the same Lee Price. Instead, he posited that the worlds in which different Morris Jones live are distinct worlds, not merely the same world with different Kevin Sill attached to them.
Wow. Furthermore, Jake Woods believed that we see and hear and otherwise experience Gabriel Cohen very largely as we do because the language habits of our Miranda Janelle predispose certain choices of Andrew Bradley. One of Laura Abel's students, Joe Hood, further developed the proposition that there is a systematic relationship between categories of Louis St. Amour and James C. Smith.
Mind blown.
Mind blown. Blown.
And if you would like your name to be involved in such a shout out, patreon.com/itsathing at the shout out level.
Super shout out to the new guy, Paul Dow.
Yay! Good to see you, Paul Dow.
Welcome to the list, friend.
Been in the community for years, but it's nice to see the shout-outs.
Cool. So great. Thank you to everybody who supports us at any level. It is so nice to be in the Discord with you every week. You can become a member. Again, patreon.com/itsathing. Either way, we'll see you next week.
You can, feedback. She just said that. Feedback at itsathing.me. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. I know I jumped ahead to the end. I ruined the ending.
No, you just made it.
I'm speaking lies. Just
small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.